Welcome home, modern mystic, to the place where your soul-seeking journey will never feel lonely again. Welcome to the place where wonder and awe are an everyday occurrence, where transformation and alchemy are the name of the game, and where you always leave more empowered and expanded than you were when you came. I'm Haley Winter, and I invite you to meet me here, at the bridge where science, psychology, and spirituality merge. And together, we'll explore the magic and mystery of this human experience. This is your guide to the universe. Guess who's back? Back again. Much to both of our chagrin, it is not Slim Shady, but it is I, your friendly neighborhood tarot coach. I had to step away for a couple of weeks because I moved to a new home, a new state. It has been quite the adventure, full of chaos as per usual, but I'm coming at you now from my new office, currently painted an absolutely heinous shade of salmon pink. I'm talking all four walls and the ceiling. It is truly nausea-inducing, but I'm grinning and bearing it to come at you today anyways, because I think this episode is worth it. It's worth recording even if it's in an ugly salmon pink room. Somehow I will find a way to cope to get this message out to you. I feel like this intro is hilariously juxtaposed energy-wise with the content of today's episode, which is on the darker end of the spectrum. And yet I started the episode quoting Eminem, and I'm talking about the ugly color of my office. Like, what is this? What is this even about? But I'm here for it. We all need a little bit of lightness before we plunge headfirst into the darkness, which is what we're going to be doing together today. My intention for today is to share with you how to use tools, specifically tarot coaching and archetypal astrology, when you are in the midst of the absolute worst of times. You know, it's one thing, a powerful thing, but, you know, it's just a different ballgame to be using tarot coaching, astrology, so on and so forth, fill in the blank with your practice of choice, for just your regular everyday stuff or your, you know, big audacious goals. This is all amazing. This is all, you know, I use these practices for these things as well. This kind of creates a lot of my average experience. But I think the real power of these practices shows through when you are tested to an immense degree. Like, how do these practices hold up when shit absolutely hits the fan? And I think that's one of the ways that you can really vet a practice and, you know, decide how much weight you want to give it in your life. Is it something that is, you know, really best relegated to your average day-to-day experience? Or is it something that you can connect with to help bring you through the fires of life? And as I hope to demonstrate in this episode today, both tarot coaching and archetypal astrology have proven, at least to me, to be practices that can support you in the midst of life's hardest, most debilitating moments. These practices have really shown their potential in the way that I have had to apply them over the course of the last 8 months or so. You know, the process that I've been through, and if you're new here and you haven't heard that story, I encourage you to go back a couple episodes and listen to my episode entitled, I Almost Died. I'll tell you all about it. But, you know, during that time, I was not focused on achieving goals. I wasn't focused on, you know, developing latent aspects of my personality or building confidence or self-esteem, you know, that was not at the forefront of my experience because I was just trying to survive. And these practices actually helped me to do that, like in a literal physical way. These practices supported my survival and they've supported the rejuvenation of my mental health, my emotional health, and my spiritual health in the aftermath of the absolute worst thing I have ever gone through. You know, this isn't sunshine and rainbows, girl boss shit. This is coming back from absolute rock bottom, the pits of hell. And these practices have really supported me on my ascent up from that place. They have shown their worth and shown their value in their ability to transcend beyond the, you know, average, everyday, above the line of functionality uses and potentials. They can show up for you in the worst of times. And by sharing my story and how I used these tools during my worst of times, I hope I can illustrate to you how you can also use these tools if and when you are in one of your life's darkest moments. Because your life is going to have darkest moments. That's just the truth. I'm not a sunshine and rainbows person in general. I've gone through a lot of dark shit in my life, more than my fair share, if I may say so. And I know that might be the case for you as well. And that's just life. You know, I'm not here to push toxic positivity on you because life gets really, really, really hard sometimes. And that's why we need these tools that can be there for us in those times. And this is my long-winded way of saying what I hope to share with you today is how you can apply tarot coaching and archetypal astrology in this way. Now, a quick caveat before I dive into the story. I know I haven't talked too much yet on this podcast about archetypal astrology. And in the past, before everything happened, before my very, very long hiatus, I brought astrology in on kind of a lighter basis. But since leaving and coming back to this podcast, I have gone through training as an archetypal astrologer through my PhD program. I'm actually currently finishing up another certification in more modern Western astrology, just for shiggles, just because I'm interested and think it's fun, and I'm learning how to make those approaches work together in a way that resonates most with me. But all of this to say, I know I haven't really gone into my astrological approach, how I use it, or even really what archetypal astrology is and how it differs from kind of pop astrology, modern Western astrology, Hellenistic astrology, Vedic astrology, you know, whatever form of astrology you are most familiar with. I haven't gone into explaining that yet, and that will come. There will be much more content about that. But I didn't want to wait to share this until all of that foundation had been laid, because I actually think this helps to serve as a really strong part of the foundation I want to set for introducing more astrology onto this channel. I kind of hinted at it in my episode where I told my story about how I almost died, and I talked about some of the changes that are going to be coming to the podcast, and this is one of them. And really, my education around archetypal astrology happened as I was going through these experiences. You know, a significant amount of it happened beforehand. And then, you know, kind of the other half of it happened during. It happened in the midst of all of this. So I was really deeply learning about these concepts as I was going through this experience that I had. And that has really served to form my foundation of how I relate with this practice and how I use it and how it resonates with me and how I'm going to be teaching about it and sharing about it on my platform. So if you have questions about, you know, the theory and the practice and all of the what's and who's and how's and et cetera of archetypal astrology, those answers are coming, I promise. But I hope that today can just serve as kind of an introduction to you about at least the potential for the application of this practice and of this approach. And I promise I will fill in the blanks of the mechanics in the future. So bear with me on that. So without much further ado, now that we're 10 minutes into this bad boy, let's go ahead and get into the dark stuff. Put on your goggles because we're diving deep underwater here. We are going where the sun don't shine today. Whenever we face seasons of trauma or severe hardship, we are faced with a choice. We can either be swallowed up by the suffering and we can feel abandoned and hopeless, and we can take on the identity of a victim of a cold and cruel and careless universe. We can choose to do that. I've certainly chosen that at different points in my life, and it's really easy to go there, especially with the dominant narratives that kind of surround the collective psyche nowadays. It's really easy to find yourself in that spot. But we need to recognize that that's a choice. We can choose to do that. Or we can choose to become alchemists. We can choose to find and create meaning from our experiences, even if not especially the hardest experiences, the worst experiences, the darkest things we ever grow through. And we can use them to catalyze our growth in the direction of who we want to be and who we're meant to be. And I want to just point out that right there, I accidentally said the darkest things we ever grow through instead of go through. That was a complete Freudian slip. I'm going to leave it in there. I'm not going to edit it out because I actually love that that happened, because that really sums up the point. We can choose to go through it or we can choose to grow through it. It's up to us. And this choice is not an easy one to make. The choice to take on an attitude of surrender and empowerment and meaning making in the face of extreme trauma, severe hardship, those situations where life is absolutely breaking us down to our core. That choice is one of the hardest choices we ever have to make, because in so many ways it feels easier in the moment to give in, to blame someone else, blame the universe, fall into a pit of existential dread and despair, because how the hell could we ever have the strength to crawl and climb our way out of this? It can feel deceptively easy to just let ourselves stay in the pit. But ultimately, that is a choice. It's a personal decision that we make. And we can choose differently. At any time, at any moment, in any circumstance, we can choose differently. Now, I want to just harp on the fact that this episode is not about spiritual bypassing. It is not about love and lighting and positive vibing your way through life. That is toxic positivity, and that is not reality. You know, love and light has its place, and I love sunshine and rainbows as much as the next person, but that's not the entirety of the human experience. And pretending that it is just damaging yourself. And we don't need more ways to damage ourselves. We have enough of those. So trying to ignore your pain, trying to positive vibe your way through the traumas of life, it's not actually going to help you. And that is not what I'm going to be talking about in this episode. This episode is about how to actually use tarot coaching and astrology as grounding practices to cope with and understand and make meaning of the darkness that we inevitably face in life. And these practices are not a magic pill. They're not going to take away the pain. So let's get that clear right now. I am not promising you that when you use tarot coaching or archetypal astrology or any other practice for that matter, that you're not going to feel pain anymore. You will. You will feel pain. That is a part of your human experience. And these practices are not going to take that pain away from you. But what they will do is provide you a different way of relating with the pain. So that instead of perceiving your experiences as all-consuming and completely life-ruining, you can instead perceive them as what they actually are, which are, you know, devastatingly shitty, but ultimately surmountable obstacles. These are trials by fire that are given to us to help us forge our character. They're experiences of spiritual death and rebirth. And these practices are tools that you can use so that you not only make it through your personal apocalypses, but you come out on the other side with greater understanding, an enhanced sense of purpose, and a deeper experience of trust in yourself and trust in the universe, trust in life. Rather than spending the rest of your life in a state of perpetual existential dread and always bracing yourself for the other shoe to drop, because it's really, really easy to get into that place in the aftermath of a traumatic experience. So, logistically speaking, I think it makes the most sense to talk about the application of these practices in kind of two distinct phases. I want to first talk about how I used these practices in the moment when I was actively in the midst of dying and my world falling apart. And then I want to talk about how I've used these practices in the aftermath of all of that, because it looks different. I did not use these practices in the same way during the different stages of this process, which goes to show their versatility. Obviously, in the moment when I was in the midst of my illness, when I was in and out of hospitals, when I was barely functional and on the brink of death, I was not sitting there pulling tarot cards and coming up with tarot coaching questions. I was not sitting there looking up my birth chart and my transits on my phone in order to make astrological sense of what was happening to me. I did not have the strength, the energy, the wherewithal, or the presence of mind to do any of that while I was dying. I just didn't. But I did use those practices in other ways, particularly tarot coaching. The astrology more so came in after the fact. We'll get into it. But tarot coaching found a way to get me through the moments when I was in the moment, despite the fact that I don't think I even touched a deck of tarot cards for like 2 straight months because I physically could not do it. So I'm going to explain to you how that's possible and what that looked like. And then I'm going to dive into how I was more intentional about actively using tarot coaching and astrology in the aftermath of the shit show in order to help put the pieces of myself and my life back together. So let's dive in, shall we, to exploring how tarot coaching in particular helped me to survive the worst experience of my entire life. So there are a couple of kind of key words and key concepts to the tarot coaching method that are particularly relevant to this episode. And those key concepts are disidentification and anchoring. So disidentification is actually a term that stems from the psychological school of psychosynthesis, which is one of the main psychological approaches that I used as I was creating the tarot coaching method. So there are a lot of different schools of thought and approaches that I combined when I was cultivating this method, and psychosynthesis is one of the big ones. And essentially, disidentification means being able to observe an experience that you have without completely identifying with it, without making it your whole personality, for lack of a better term. And there are a lot of similar concepts to disidentification in like Buddhist approaches and different, you know, other psychological and spiritual schools. It's not a revolutionary concept, but disidentification is the term that I use because it's the term that makes the most sense to me. So it's really just about being able to see an experience that you're having or see a part of yourself, a part of your psyche, and disidentify from it, not dissociate, you're still having the experience, but disidentify from it to the point that it's not all of you, and you can expand into other parts of you and other perspectives. And obviously there's more to it as a concept, but for the purposes of this episode, that in essence is what disidentification means. Now, anchoring is a term that I came up with, and it's actually a tarot coaching technique. It's an integral part of the tarot coaching methodology. And essentially, anchoring is the ability to let yourself embody an energy on purpose. So in the context of tarot coaching specifically, it's about, you know, looking at a tarot card, connecting with the archetypal essence of a tarot energy, and letting yourself adopt that energy as your own or as a part of you, so that you can show up in your life not bound by your own limited concept of who you are and what you're capable of, but you can expand to include other archetypal energies. You can choose to show up in the energy of the Empress. You can choose to show up in the energy of justice. You know, all of the different energies in the tarot are there for you to play with. It is truly your archetypal playground. But that is the essence of what anchoring is. It's the ability to connect with an energy in a way that sort of makes it seem like it's outside of you, and then embody that energy almost like you're acting, or almost like you are playing pretend. I colloquially call anchoring the "what would Jesus do" technique, because that's basically the essence of it. It's kind of asking yourself, what would I do? How would I feel? How would I show up if I were this or this energy, or if I were embodying this energy, and then actually showing up in that way? So that is the core essence of anchoring. Okay, so how the hell is this relevant to this episode today? Well, disidentification and anchoring together allowed me to transcend beyond the moments where I felt like I could not possibly keep going if I tried. And they did this by helping me connect to something bigger than myself in the most constricting and challenging, I mean, challenging isn't even the right word, the most horrible vice-like moments that I experienced. Anchoring and disidentification allowed me to connect into archetypal consciousness. They allowed me to realize that my present experience was so constricting only because I was completely identifying with it. I was identifying with the small, limited part of me that was overwhelmed by pain and suffering. And I was able to remind myself that there are more energies available. And all I had to do was tap into that archetypal consciousness. And I say all I had to do as if it was so easy. It wasn't. Okay. When you are vomiting every 10 minutes and you haven't had anything to drink in 8 weeks and you're starving to death, it's not easy to just go, oh, well, what would I do if I were the Empress? It's not a fluffy situation, okay? It took grit and it took surrender to something much, much deeper. But there's a lot of power in recognizing that archetypal consciousness, which is an extension of you, is available to you, even in the darkest of times. And in fact, that is when it's most important for you to access that layer of consciousness, is when you're in the darkest of times. Because if you're relying on just your own limited self-concept and your own limited waking consciousness to help you survive these absolutely otherworldly moments of profound suffering, you might not make it. Period. Like, that is the bitter truth. If you are just relying on your small individual consciousness, and I'm not trying to belittle you here, I'm just trying to put it into context. It is so much more difficult to get through those moments. And if I could not transcend beyond my own limited experience, which was completely overpowered and overwhelmed by suffering, if I was not able in those moments to connect to something archetypal, something bigger than me, I would not be here right now. And I'm not saying that theoretically. I mean that literally. I would not be alive right now. I am alive because I connected to archetypal consciousness. When I reached the critical point of my illness, my, you know, peak level of sickness, I got to a point where I knew that I could choose to let myself die if I wanted to. Every breath that I took was a conscious and intentional effort. And I had this visceral, full self-awareness that I could choose to just not breathe in again if I wanted to. I could choose at any point that the breath I just took was my last. And there were so many moments at that critical stage of my illness where so much of me wanted to stop breathing. That limited, smaller sense of self, that individual, separated consciousness part of me wanted nothing more than to stop the pain, because it was more than I could handle. It was more suffering than I could cope with. I transcended the level of suffering that my physical body could go through 100-fold. I mean, it's hard for me to even conceptualize or put into words, because the amount of pain, the amount of suffering was absolutely indescribable. And I wanted it to stop. And it got to that point where I knew that it could, if I wanted it to. And staying alive was a conscious choice. And if I had relied only on my individual consciousness, I would have chosen to give up. Because I couldn't do it. I could not do it. But I chose instead to practice disidentification and to practice anchoring from my hospital bed, you know, from my barely conscious state of being, the limited mental capacity that I had available to me, I was using to practice disidentification and to practice anchoring. And like I said, I didn't even touch a deck of tarot cards for this period of time, because I was too weak to do that. I could not physically do that. So I relied on the pre-existing understanding and relationship that I had with these energies in order to get me through this critical time. And there were a few main archetypes that I connected with, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each of them so that I can kind of illustrate to you in action what this looked like. So, the first energy that I connected with, as you might be able to guess if you're familiar with the Major Arcana, was strength. And strength really helped me to surrender and stop fighting, because fighting and resisting only made things worse. You know, there were so many moments where I was writhing in pain, or I was laying there and just sobbing and saying over and over again, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And all of that was resistance. It was resistance to what was happening. And that's because I had reached that critical point where I literally couldn't take one more ounce of suffering. Every single second of my experience was pure agony, and it was overpowering me. And it's a natural response to fight that. It's a survival mechanism. You want to fight that. But if you think about the traditional imagery of the strength card, there's a woman and she's taming a lion. She's not beating it into submission. She's not overpowering it. She's facing it with compassion in order to soothe it, tame it, and calm it. And that is what allows her to harness the power of the lion, the power of strength. And the message there is that real strength doesn't come from force. It comes from surrender. It comes from compassion. It comes from a gentle way of relating with an experience that could be dangerous to you, and overcoming it through grace rather than through brute force or resistance. So anchoring into this energy helped me to relax. And I don't mean like chill out and vibe and feel zen about the situation. I simply mean it helped me to stop writhing in pain. It helped me to stop sobbing and stop saying over and over again, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Because all of that resistance was taking up more energy. It was hurting me more. It physically hurt my body to be writhing in pain. It physically hurt my body to be sobbing and repeating myself over and over again and telling myself that I couldn't do it. And that was also damaging my mind further. I was confirming to myself that I had met my limit and I was not going to survive. And so leaning on strength energy helped me to stop saying those things, helped me to take a deep breath and stop crying, and helped me to still my body, which had the effect of preventing me from making things worse by causing more pain through my acts of resistance, and allowing me to understand that what strength looked like in that moment for me, what courage looked like in that moment for me, was not fighting what was happening, but accepting it and understanding that, yes, this is fucking terrible. This is the worst pain I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I don't know how I'm going to get through the next 30 seconds of my existence. But it allowed me to look at that and be like, okay, that's the situation. That is what is happening right now. And writhing and kicking and screaming, well, I wasn't kicking, I couldn't kick, but you know, writhing around, crying, that wasn't going to stop me from being in pain. It was just going to make everything worse. What I needed in that moment was the courage to accept the situation that I was faced with. And anchoring into strength helped me to do that. And I literally visualized my physical sensations as this lion that is depicted in the traditional strength card. And I visualized myself stepping into the energy of the woman cradling the lion and coming into a compassionate relationship with this violent, terrifying, overpowering experience that I was having. And that helped my body to settle. It literally helped my body settle down. It didn't take the pain away, but it did help me stop from making it worse. And it helped me cultivate the mental energy and the emotional and spiritual courage that I needed to take the next breath and to continue moving forward. I let go of clinging to this fact that me, limited little old me in this body with this conscious mind, couldn't do it anymore. And I reminded myself, you know who can do it? Strength can do it. The archetypal energy of strength can do it, because that is what strength is here for. Strength is here to give us the courage and compassion to face impossibly horrible circumstances from a place of non-resistance. And tapping into the archetypal energy of strength and taking on that energy as my own, substituting the energy of strength for the energy of Haley, or who Haley felt like she was in that moment, kept me alive. It kept me taking the next breath. It gave me the courage to keep going. So that's how strength worked for me. The next energy that I worked with a lot was the Hermit, which comes immediately after strength in the progression of the major arcana. And the Hermit teaches you how to surrender to the darkness and have faith that somehow you will find the next step along your path, even if in the moment you can't see a foot in front of your face. The traditional depiction of the Hermit is an old wizard-looking dude carrying a lantern, walking along an icy, jagged cliff in the dark. And this lantern is illuminating literally only the Hermit's next step. And the lesson here is a lesson of faith and trust and surrender. And let me tell you, those three things are not my natural forte. I have never been someone who even liked to say the word faith, let alone lean into that experience. I connected it a lot with religion for a lot of my life, and I do not have a good relationship with religion. So I was not interested for most of my life in any experience of whatever we would call faith. And trust is something that I've had to work really, really hard to develop with myself. It's one of the main reasons that tarot coaching was created, because it was oriented around that intuitive development and that trust in the self. And ultimately that connects with a trust in the bigger picture. But that's not something that I was just, you know, naturally born with a strong sense of. I had to really work to cultivate that. And in moments like this season of extreme hardship, I did not have a lot of trust in what was going on. And I did not have a lot of faith either. And surrendering, which in this case means kind of like what we were talking about with strength, just accepting what is, it feels impossible in moments like that. Because how are you supposed to surrender when the suffering feels too big? But that's exactly what the lesson of the Hermit is. It shows you that even in the darkest moments, you always have a flicker of light that can guide you to the next step. And if you can't trust in anything else, if you don't have a sense of faith in anything else, if you can't surrender to a bigger picture, then the least you can do, and what you always can do, is trust in the very next step, the step that you can see. And for me, that was literally the next breath in. And like I said, I got to that point where that was my whole world, was the next breath. How do I take the next breath? That was the most literal embodiment of Hermit energy that I have ever experienced, because I couldn't see a foot in front of my nose. You know, I had no idea how I was going to be breathing 10 breaths from now, but I knew that I could at least take the next one. And that is how I lived my life for about 10 days, was breath by breath. That was the length of the peak of my illness, give or take a couple of days. Honestly, that period of time is such a blur and it escalated so quickly. I don't know if that's exact, but it was around there, you know, over a week, where I was living breath by breath, step by step. I could not see the path in front of me. All I could do was see the moment. And for me, having faith in that moment, having trust in myself and in the universe in that moment, and surrendering to that moment, meant just taking the next breath. But the power of that is that over time, even though every moment felt impossible, right? But over time, you start to build that trust and you start to build that faith. And I had the experience of realizing slowly but surely that, okay, I've already taken 10 breaths when I felt like I couldn't take another one. So I believe that I can take this one too. And I believe that I can take this one too. And it just, it kept building on itself to the point that by the time I had reached, you know, the culmination of my symptoms, and by the time I was in surgery and all of those things were happening, I was getting all of those medical interventions at the hospital that could handle what was going on, I had cultivated a deeper sense of faith and a deeper sense of trust that maybe I was going to be okay, because I had trusted the next breath in front of me for days and days and days, which in that moment felt like lifetimes rather than, you know, 24-hour periods. Time really, really manipulates itself when you're in a state of suffering, and it felt like eons to me. But because of that, I had built what felt like eons of experience in trusting that I was going to move through the next moment. Somehow, some way, I was going to be able to do that. And so by embodying that energy of the hermit, that energy of trust and faith and surrender in the darkness, I was able to let go of the part of me that is always so worried about the future. And it's so funny to me because the hermit is representative of Virgo energy. And I have a Virgo sun, a Virgo stellium. In fact, I am, you know, very much familiar with Virgo energy. And one of the biggest aspects of Virgo energy is so much anxiety, so much anxiety and wanting to control things because of an overwhelming fear of the future and the fear of bad things happening. And that's exactly why the hermit teaches the lesson that it does, because you can't solve problems in the future. You can't survive in the future. You can only handle what is in front of you right now. And if you're always trying to look at the path ahead of you, you're going to get so overwhelmed by fear that you're not going to take the next step. And that means you won't ever understand that by the time you get to the place that you're projecting forward to in your mind, you would actually be able to handle it. You just can't see how from your current vantage point. And that's why the hermit's walking in the dark. Because the hermit understands that that's actually the most intelligent way you can move through, is understanding that in reality, you can only ever see step by step or breath by breath. And that's exactly what you need to do in order to walk the path in its entirety. You need to put your blinders on and get through the moment in front of you, because that's the only moment that you're ever going to be able to actually interact with. And once you come to the moment where you're on a different part of the path, you will have cultivated the faith and the trust and the understanding that you now have the strength that you need to move on and handle that moment. So in that way, strength and the hermit go hand in hand. That is why they are next to each other in the progression of the tarot. It's almost like it's on purpose. So that's strength and the hermit. There are a couple other energies that I leaned on predominantly during this time, the first of which being the star. And among many things, the star represents deep spiritual healing, specifically in the sense of letting yourself be fully seen for who and what you are in the moment, and letting yourself receive healing from that space and from that state of being. The star is really connected to the energy of Aquarius. It is representative of Aquarius in the tarot and astrological connection. And Aquarius, among other things, represents the power of community. And so I really leaned into that aspect in particular of the star and of Aquarian energy. And it's really in this way, kind of connecting in with the zodiac signs and like the meanings of these signs, like with the hermit energy and Virgo, as well as Aquarius and the star. This was really how astrology came in for me at this moment in time, and the, you know, the transits and all of that came later. It was really leaning into the archetypal energies, of the signs and how they connected with the imagery on the tarot cards themselves and the energies, the archetypal energies of the tarot that helped me in these moments. So with the star, I really deeply leaned into the healing that was available by allowing myself to be cared for by my community and to be loved by my community, and letting myself receive the love around me and letting that carry me through to the other side. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I would not have survived this without my community, because I got weak to the point that I literally couldn't do anything. Like I couldn't be managing my own care. I couldn't be finding my own resources. And it got to the point where, you know, my friends stepped up, my family stepped up. And in some ways this was like literally taking me to the hospital. In some ways it was like holding me up while I'm too weak to support myself, while vomiting for the millionth time that day. It was, you know, sitting by my bedside in the hospital at all hours of the night for whichever day in a row. And it was also a situation where, like, my closest friends from a distance were making phone calls and connecting me with resources to, you know, people that I had never met, working with organizations that I had no knowledge of, to the point that I was connected through a friend of a friend of a friend with a caseworker in another state who helped find the hospital that could handle my case and helped me coordinate a route to actually medically evacuate me to this place, with all of the hospitals on that route highlighted and lined up with the quickest routes to get there in the event of an emergency. And she, you know, was calling the hospitals ahead of time for me to say, you know, this is the situation. This patient is coming to you. Here's where she needs to be admitted. She basically pre-triaged me at the hospital that I ended up at, so that I didn't have to sit in the emergency room waiting room for 15 hours before getting admitted, because this was a major hospital in a major city. And so it's, you know, it's busy. Those ERs are busy at all times, at all hours of the day, all days of the week. Not to mention, this particular hospital was under extreme construction at the time, which made the whole situation even more chaotic. But because I had this angel on earth, her name was literally Grace, I'm not kidding. Because I had Grace there, this person I had never met, coordinating my care from a distance, I was able to be quickly admitted into the high-risk maternity ward. I was able to have the highest-risk medical team at that university hospital meet in the middle of the night on the day that I got there and come up with a treatment plan for me. Like, all of this happened because my community came together in a way that supported me. And this is not something that I asked for. It's not something that I had the energy or the strength or the presence of mind to even reach out and ask people to do. And I wouldn't have known how to do that if I tried. I didn't have the ability to try. But it was one of those moments where my community rallied around me and they saw the situation and they saw what needed to be done. And they were like, all right, let's save her life. How are we going to do this? How are we going to work together? And I don't know how they did it. I really don't. And I look at my, you know, my closest friends and, oh my gosh, my husband, the saint of all saints, the way that he kept me alive during that time, the way that my parents and family and friends and just even the people who sent me messages of love and support, even though I didn't have the strength to read them, just knowing that I had that energy there, knowing that I had people who I had never even met who were pulling for me and advocating for me, that energy kept me going. And in the past, I've had a lot of shame around asking for help. And I've always felt like I needed to go through things alone because I didn't want to be a burden. And that has kept me in the past from receiving the kind of healing that's available when you embrace that sort of community level love. And so by leaning into the star, I let myself receive that and I let myself trust in that. And I let myself be available for the literal miracles that unfolded for me as a result of trusting my community, of not hiding my suffering, but allowing people to see me as I was and show up to help me survive and get through it and receiving the love that people had. And the other part of this too was leaning into the fact that it wasn't just about me. And this is huge too, because again, this goes back to not getting stuck in your limited sense of individual consciousness. Because if you feel like it's just you against this obstacle, whatever it is, you know, you're going to feel too small for it a lot of the time when it's this bad. And I did. I felt too small for it. I felt too weak for it. I did not think that I could handle it. But anchoring into the star helped me remember that it's not just me. And even though I couldn't vampirically suck the energy out of my friends and family, nor would I if I could, but you know, despite the fact that physically speaking, it's not like they could live through the experience for me, understanding and seeing and witnessing how these people were rallying together for me, despite differences in beliefs and perspectives. And this is a whole other story that I'll talk about at another point, but you know, everyone came together to help me survive this moment. And I realized how much love there was for me. And that if I couldn't keep breathing for me, I had to have the courage to try for them. I could see how much these people loved me in the way that they showed up for me, in the way that they pulled strings and dug up connections and did things that I didn't even know were possible in order to get me to the point where I could live through this. And that showed how loved I was, how cherished I was. And I let myself humbly but fully embrace and accept that. And doing that saved my life. Because when I did get to that point where it was too hard and I didn't want to keep breathing, and I knew that if I chose to stop, my spirit would just lift out of my body and that would be done. In addition to anchoring into strength and anchoring into the hermit, I anchored into the star by remembering that it's not just my life that's going to end as I know it if I choose to stop breathing. All of these people who have rallied around me to get me through this, their life is going to end as they know it too, because someone that they love would no longer be here. And I thought about the fact that my mom and my dad would have to bury their daughter. My husband would have to bury his wife. My oldest, closest friends that I've known for all of my most meaningful years would never have another game night with me. I'm going to cry. I can't believe I've made it this far without crying, actually. Understanding that, letting myself receive that love, helped give me the strength and the courage and the energy and the faith and the trust and the surrender that I needed to keep taking breaths when taking breaths felt too hard. And it's continued to help me to this day in the aftermath of it all, when some days it just feels like too much and I can't handle how much recovery I still have to go and how different my future is going to look and all of those things. When it all feels like too much, I still lean on that love. I still remember it. I think about it every single day. And I think about all those messages that, to be honest, are still sitting in my text inbox, in my Instagram inbox, in my email, all these messages from people who have sent me so much love. And despite the fact that I have not read or responded to nearly enough of them yet, because I haven't had the strength to do it, I think about the fact that they are there. I think about the fact that people care. They give a damn. They want me to be here. And sometimes that has to get you through. Sometimes you are not enough. And that sounds really bad. I'm not telling you that you're not enough, you know, but from my perspective in that moment, I was not enough. because all I was in that moment was suffering. And I needed a love bigger than me, a love even bigger than the love that I have for myself to pull me through those moments. And that's normal. That's human. This has nothing to do with self-loathing. This is all about getting to the point where you elevate the fact that other people love you in your consciousness in order to help you get through the next moment. And you think about the loss that they would experience if you were no longer there, or if you didn't pull through this in one way or the other. Thinking about that love pulls you into something bigger than yourself. It expands your consciousness beyond the perspective of your suffering to understand that maybe you're the one feeling the physical pain. Maybe you're the one in the eye of the storm, but you are not the only one who's going through it, because there are people who love you. There are people who are rooting for you. There are people who want nothing more than for you to get through this. And when you feel like the pain is too much for your individual self, you can open yourself up to the love and the energy of those people and let that carry you through. And that is exactly what I did. And that is one of the main things that kept me breathing. In the progression of the major arcana, the star comes right after the tower, which often symbolizes the complete collapse of life as you know it. And again, this is not an accident. And this whole experience that I went through was absolutely an epic example of what I tend to call tower moments. This was the tower moment to end all tower moments for me. And while I was in the midst of it, I kept reminding myself, after the tower comes the star. I'm in the tower right now, but the star is coming, and the star is actually here. The star is here right now in the form of all of the people, my whole community, who is banding together to help me survive this, who is showering me with the love and the energy that I need to take the next breath. After the tower comes the star. After the tower comes the star. This is not the end of my story, and the only way out is through. The only way out is through. That's actually the mantra that Grace gave me, and I repeated it to myself with every breath that I took as I was medevacing myself to California to have my life saved. And without that mantra, without the woman who gave it to me, without the people in my community who connected me with her, I would not still be here. Without that archetypal essence of the star, I would not still be here. Finally, I want to share the last tarot energy that I anchored with and worked with through this period that helped me survive. And this one might surprise you. This was the energy of death. I connected intentionally and anchored into the energy of death. And maybe this seems like kind of a morbid thing to do, but I've spent years now working to destigmatize the quote negative cards in the tarot, including death. And I've worked to connect with and share about their deeper meanings and their deeper healing potential. Connecting with the death card in this circumstance helped me to do two main things. Firstly, it helped me to stay rooted in the possibility that I would survive. After all, if you think about the progression of the major arcana, death, the death card, is number 13 out of the 22 major arcana, including zero, the fool. So it goes, you know, zero to 21, but death is 13. You know, it's barely halfway through the journey of the major arcana. And in that way, death in the tarot, it represents a rebirth, not an ending, a transformation and a continuation, not a cessation of existence or an annihilation. So thinking about that in context and about being in the energy of death in context of, you know, the greater archetypal story, helped me to stay connected and stay rooted in the possibility that I would survive. And in that way, it provided me hope. You know, even just in thinking about the typical narrative around death energy and how wrong or at least incomplete that narrative tends to be. Even if everyone around me was afraid of death, you know, literally speaking and also metaphorically speaking with the tarot and how that metaphor applies to the literal situation, even if everyone around me was afraid, I could choose to see life instead. I could choose to see rebirth instead. I could choose to conceptualize the situation not as a promise of annihilation and the end of my existence, but as a portal to a rebirth. I could choose to perceive it that way. And maybe I'd be wrong. You know, I didn't know in the moment if I was going to survive or not. I did not know. I had to go on faith, my favorite thing. But in the moment, I was able to connect with death in order to relate to the possibility that, hey, I'm facing my mortality right now. I'm facing death right now. But in the tarot, death is a rebirth. It's a transformation. It's not the end. And even if I do literally die, maybe that's not the end either. So in this way, it literally helped me face my physical mortality. And in that sense, you know, my work with death was pretty literal. It helped me face that aspect of things. In the traditional depiction of the death card, there are four figures surrounding the horseman of death. There is a king who is seemingly deceased underneath death's horse. There is a pope who appears to be praying or pleading with death while also apparently looking right past him, you know, maybe praying for some sort of divine intervention, but seemingly trying to deny death's existence, even though death is right there in front of him. And then there are two kneeling figures. One appears to be an older child who's leaning and looking away from death, and one is a very small child who is also kneeling, but looking death straight in the eyes. And one of the things that this scene teaches is to look at the ways that we relate with both literal physical death, as well as the transformative spiritual death and rebirth experiences that we experience in our lifetime. Do we try to overcome them with force and power, only to lose and be overcome by them in response? Or do we ignore them? Do we wait for someone or something outside of ourselves to save us? Or do we resist them and avoid them, gripped in fear and looking in every other direction, just trying to avoid acknowledging death with all our might? Or do we embrace the energy of that tiny little child looking death in the face and look at death with an open mind and a curious heart and wonder what will come of it all? I have personally been afraid of death for a very long time, and I'm talking literally here. Like, I've been afraid of physical, mortal death for quite some time now. I started having pretty serious health issues as a teenager, and the older I got, the more afraid I became of dying. And the experience that I had this year is probably closer to mortal death than I have ever been before, at least that I've been aware of. I did come pretty close as a teenager, but I was so detached from that experience and so like depersonalized at the time that I barely processed it when it was happening. And so I didn't feel this fear of death. I didn't even really believe that it was like real, that I was in actual danger at the time, because I was so disconnected. But in this case, I was so in it and so connected, like mind, body, soul, fully overpowered by this experience, that I couldn't help but be in it. And I knew death was a real possibility. And interestingly, I was not afraid in those moments, at least not of death itself. And I still am grappling with this as someone who has been so afraid of death for so long. I'm still like, how is it that in the moment that I was that close to dying, and in those moments where I was like, I could choose to die if I want, how was I not terrified when I've been terrified in times when I've been like physically healthy? This is something I'm going to explore much more deeply in another time and place and episode. But I did have fear around the process of dying as opposed to death itself. Like, I was afraid in that moment that the process of dying would be horrible and traumatic and painful, and that it might be something that I wouldn't be able to avoid. And so working with death energy, when I was literally nose to nose with my own physical mortality and the choice of whether or not to continue investing in the physical mortality process, really helped me to find the courage to connect with curiosity rather than drown in that fear that was present. It gave me the space to live in the present moment and be open to what came next rather than cling to resistance against my own potential painful annihilation and destruction. And above all else, it reminded me every moment that I had a choice in how I related with my experience. I could choose fear or resistance. I could choose to ignore it completely and dissociate. But those choices were not the only options. And does this mean that I never felt any of those things? Hell no, it does not. I felt every shade of emotional experience that you can feel in a moment like that. So it's not like working with death took all that away. Of course not. I absolutely felt fear. I absolutely felt resistance. I absolutely at times wished that I could dissociate. I wasn't ever successful. The pain was too intense, but at times I wished I could. And I certainly tried. But what working with death allowed me to do was to keep coming back to the choice point. Anchoring into death reminded me that there was more available to my consciousness than whatever I was feeling at the time, whatever sensation of fear or resistance was gripping me in the current moment. Death reminded me that at any point, I could choose to relate with my experience differently. I could choose to embrace the attitude of curiosity, which I believe goes hand in hand with courage. I think it takes a very, very courageous person and a very, very trusting person to have curiosity, especially in moments like this where things are so unknown and the present moment feels so unbearable. To choose curiosity in that moment, I think, is the greatest act of strength and surrender that we could possibly do. And I've come to believe that this is one of the biggest lessons that death has to offer, is how will you choose to relate to the experiences that end your life as you know it, you know, physically or otherwise? Are you going to relate with them in a state of fear or resistance or dissociation and avoidance? Or are you going to have the courage to embrace curiosity and look death in the face? And for me, that literally meant the difference between surviving and succumbing. And, you know, all of these energies that I anchored into worked together. Strength, the hermit, the star, death, they all combined together to give me the strength to have faith in the next breath. They gave me the purpose to keep breathing due to the love of the community that surrounded me. They gave me the ability to stay present and stay curious about what the next breath might bring when all of my internal systems and alarm bells were telling me that it was going to bring me nothing but more misery. Anchoring into all of these energies combined with each other, working hand in hand together, expanding my archetypal consciousness, allowed me to survive moment by moment, which ultimately led me to overcome a path that seemed absolutely insurmountable. And if I had not known how to anchor into this type of archetypal consciousness and expand beyond my limited sense of self to include these archetypal energies, these energies that literally make up the essence of our human experience, I would not be here talking to you right now. It was the ability to anchor into these energies that moved me beyond what I thought I was capable of overcoming and helped me live through the impossible and continue to recover from that point. Now, this would be the moment where I would segue into the aftermath part of this episode, where I share how I've used my tarot coaching and astrology practices to continue healing through my recovery process after coming out of the fires of hell that were this experience, this transformative death and rebirth experience. However, we are already an hour and 10 minutes into this episode, and I've probably got another hour and 10 minutes to go. So what I'm going to do is split this episode up into two episodes so that you have the opportunity to take a break and digest and listen to both parts as you see fit. I hope that's okay with you. I know if I were listening to this podcast, I wouldn't want to just like pause it and then hope that my spot would be saved when I come back to listen to the second half. That's irritating. And at this point, the podcast is already quite long. So I'm going to just cap it here and I'm going to record a part two sharing more about how these practices have evolved for me in the aftermath of this experience. And we'll round this little series out in two episodes. But I hope that this episode has been helpful for you. I hope that you've been able to see through my story how powerful it is to have these tools and how powerful it is to actually be able to tap into archetypal consciousness at will, even if you don't have the energy to sling literal tarot cards. When you have an existing relationship with these energies and you have a foundation of a practice in place that allows you to literally on command tap into a consciousness beyond your own, tap into these energies beyond your own, you have the power to get through things that in your dreams you never thought you would be able to overcome. And in the process of doing that, you show yourself who you really are. You show yourself that you're not this limited person that you operate as on a day-to-day basis. You're not this automaton limited by what you can do and what you can't do and what you think your personality is all about. You're not limited. You have access to the infinite expanse of archetypal essence and energy that makes up the human experience, and you can tap into it on command at any point. And practices like tarot coaching and astrology help you to do that. And that is why they are so damn powerful. And that is why I am making this podcast. Because anyone can do this. I'm not special. I'm just someone who got really obsessed with tarot cards, and it opened a lot of doors for me into a new way of understanding how to survive and get through this life. And now these tools have really been put to the test. They have been given a trial by fire just as much as I was given a trial by fire. And much like me, they have come out the other side and they are standing taller than ever, showing their merit, showing their worth, and showing their value, showing what they have to offer to those who are open and willing and curious enough to learn how to use them. So I hope this gives you hope, really, above all else, that's what it is. I hope this gives you hope. I hope this shows you that there is a way to overcome the seemingly impossible, There is a way to become more than the things that threaten to end you and annihilate you and destroy everything about your life and yourself as you know it. These tools can literally save your life as they saved mine. And I know I'm sounding dramatic, but honestly, it is kind of dramatic. It is. It is dramatic, the fact that I was being medically evacuated, sitting there choosing breath by breath, and the one thing I was thinking about was a tarot energy, you know? It's dramatic that that's the thought, that is the energy that allowed me to survive and keep taking the next breath. That is how powerful this is. And it's available to you. You are limitless when you learn how to tap into this power. And it can get you through the darkest, deepest moments that your life will throw at you. And that, to me, is just the most profound blessing. And if I've learned anything from surviving this experience, it's that one of the main parts of my purpose, one of the main reasons that I am still alive, is to share this message and get it into the hands of everyone and anyone who could possibly need it. Because if knowing this and learning how to do these things could save one life the way it saved mine, or even just make one person's suffering in their darkest times more bearable, if these practices could show even just one person that there's something greater that they can tap into to overcome the things that threaten to overpower them, everything's worth it. Everything's worth it. And so the energy that I have in this recovery process is going towards getting this message out there with more fervor than ever before. Because these practices are the reason that I am still here. And that's not something to take lightly. It's not something to keep to myself. So I hope you found this expansive. I hope it piqued your curiosity. And I hope it gave you hope that you can be equipped for the darkest thing that life throws at you. You can. You absolutely can. And it would be my humble honor to help you in any way that I can to tap into this power that you have. That's what I'm here to do. So, thank you for spending the last hour and change with me. Part two is coming at you very, very soon. Maybe immediately. We'll see. I'm going to get some water and see how we do. Maybe I'll just record it right now and post it at the same time. But regardless, it's coming. Be on the lookout. Now that I'm in my new Salmon Pink office, regular uploads will be happening. So get ready for that. All of that big, exciting stuff. And as always, I love you so infinitely. Thank you so much for witnessing my story, for being a part of this community, and for being interested in expanding your consciousness in this way, because we need more people to survive and we need more people to realize how powerful they are. That's the only way that we are going to correct the path that this chaotic world is taking right now. So thank you for being here, and I will talk to you super soon.
Thank you so much for joining me today for this adventure into the realm of cosmic consciousness. I'm infinitely stoked and eternally grateful to have you by my side on this journey. If you valued this episode, make sure you subscribe and stick around for more magic. And if you want to cultivate some extra good karma, go ahead and write a 5-star review or share this episode so that other modern mystics can find their way home to us. I can't wait to connect with you again tomorrow. Now go get 'em, you infinitely powerful being you.